Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin's driving another great vehicle this week.
Yeah, I've been enjoying the 2017 Hyundai Elantra, and they've redesigned the Hyundai Elantra, which is why they brought out a 2017 model here in the beginning of 2016. Features for your iPhone like Apple Car. That is a really great option to be able to plug in your USB iPhone or Android, because Android has an app available as well. And everything becomes part of the car screen now. So that big 8-inch screen that you have the backup camera that you can see clearly with now has all the phone apps available on it as well, including the map. One of the, might be the only vehicle that has an 8-inch screen that doesn't require you to have the map feature as well in navigation. It also has lane assist as well as three different driving modes. Sport mode, which has the RPMs just a little bit higher for a little bit more of a fun drive and more challenging steering. Or you could go normal mode or eco mode. Eco mode will drop the RPMs down a little lower and save you a few more miles per gallon. Average, by the way, 32. Find out more on my Facebook page. Impressive. Follow me on Twitter and be looking for a Periscope video hopefully tomorrow.
Why do you hope tomorrow? Don't you control that?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the weather forecast yet. Yeah, we're looking for a couple of flurries. I don't want to do it in a flurry storm or a snowstorm. And it's a mostly cloudy day. Maybe I'll wait till Thursday when it's sunny and it actually, you know, looks bright and has the sparkle on it of a new car. A sun-splashed new car.
I'm sure it's fabulous. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. It was a lean night, but this is what we found.
Now Matt Cullen will shoot for Pittsburgh. He has to score. Keep this thing going. Cullen to the slot. Couple of moves and a save made by Montoya. The Panthers have won it. 2-1 in a shootout.
Chris Kunitz scored late last night in the third period to get the Penguins into overtime. The 3-on-3 was wild and exciting, but neither team scored. Sidney Crosby scored in the opening penalty shot. And then finally, it was tied 1-1 in the fifth round. I think it was Jussi Jokinen scored. And then that opened the door for Cullen's play, and Montoya kicked it aside, and Florida. I watched that game last night because I hadn't seen the Florida Panthers play this year. They lead the division. They've done well. I thought, you know what? Here's a good opportunity. Let's see what they look like. Good-looking team. Really play solid defense. Back check well. A good concept, the way they attack on offense. And the, you know, I don't care whether it's Luongo or Montoya. They're really good in goal. So the Florida Panthers win in a shootout last night down in Broward County. All right. Kevin doesn't care how much Roger Goodell makes.
Don't care.
Nor do I. I remember when the Patriot News made a big deal out of trying to get Joe Paterno's salary. And I went down, I was speaking in Camp Hill, and I was asked about how interested was I that about hearing what Joe Paterno makes. And I said, I don't care at all. I said, I care what I make. I said, I don't care what he makes. I said, I care what I make. I said, what he makes doesn't pay any of my bills. I said, I've got to be able to pay my bills. And I also know the other part, too, is that's what the university pays him. That's not what he made altogether. You got to add in the Nike money, the radio network money, which is now Learfield and so forth. And that's why, you know, you can take stories and they can be very misleading. I'll give you a misleading story from a couple of years ago. They were talking about the highest paid state employees. I remember at that time, Bill O'Brien was the football coach at Penn State. And it said Bill O'Brien is the single highest paid state employee in Pennsylvania. Well, that's not true. Bill O'Brien was not paid by the state. He's part of the he was part of the state pension plan, but did not receive a dime of taxpayer money. Zero, zip, zilch, nada. He was paid by the Penn State Athletic Department, which is autonomous from the university. And that showed that whomever wrote that article didn't know what the heck they were talking about. Now, is he listed on there? Sure, because of the state pension plan. But you, the taxpayers, did not pay him a dime of his salary. Now, when you went to Beaver Stadium and you bought tickets and maybe you watched Penn State football on cable, you're helping to pay his salary. But it didn't come out of state tax money, and it did not come out of the university. It came out of the athletic department and what they get as a self-sustaining unit. The athletic department is autonomous. And so you'll get misleading stories like that. Roger Goodell makes $34.1 million a year. That's fine. He is the highest paid person in the NFL. The highest paid player is Aaron Rodgers at $22 million. Goodell makes $34.1 million. Now try this on for size. Why, in a league that has struggled with the Ray Rice situation, essentially struggled with the Deflategate story, you know, I just think they just totally botched that, and I think they misread it from day one. I don't really think handled the Adrian Peterson story well. I don't think they handled any of that well. So on the surface, it looks like it's a stumbling, bumbling unit. Well, it is until you get to this. Number one, they do have a labor agreement that he pounded out that that is 10 years. Now listen to these numbers. You want to know why he's worth $34.1 million? Now, there is a television committee. I think now the television committee is, I want to say, Mark Richardson of Carolina, Stan Kroenke of the Rams, the Bolin family, Jerry Jones is the chairman, and Robert Kraft. Those are the five members of the TV committee.
That was really good, by the way.
Oh, okay. Is it that, correct?
Pat Bolin, Robert Kraft, Stan Kroenke, and Mark Richardson. With the chairman,
and Jerry Jones. Oh, good. Okay.
Well done.
Thank you. Next. Is this. Here's the money they've been able to get. When you look back from 98 to 2005, CBS paid $500 million and Fox paid $550 and ESPN paid $600 million a year, and Monday Night Football went to ABC for $550 million a year. Now this is what they pay. And the CBS contract runs through 2022. They pay $1 billion a year. Fox's contract runs through 2022. They pay $1.1 billion a year. NBC's contract runs through 2022. They pay $950 million a year. ESPN's contract runs through 2021. They pay $1.9 billion a year. Thursday Night Football. NFL Network does not pay a dime. Contract runs through 2017. NBC gets seven games. Now, keep in mind the seven games, two of them are part of the Sunday night package. That's the Thursday opening game of the season and Thanksgiving night. The other five, they pay $225 million for. CBS is going to have five. They're going to pay $225 million. So they get $450 million now out of Thursday Night Football, an increase of $175 million per year over the previous contract. NFL Sunday Ticket brings in another $1.5 billion per year under the new agreement that began this past season in 2015. I mean, think about that. I mean, think about those numbers. You wonder why he gets $31.1 million a year? That's why. It doesn't include international broadcast rights, anything. It doesn't include the radio deal, nothing. But that's where he is coming to play. His ability to negotiate these contracts. The total contract from 82 to 86 was $420 million a year. From 87 to 89, it was $473 million a year. From 1990 to 1993, it was $900 million a year. From 91 to 97, it was $1.1 billion a year. From 98 to 2005, $2.2 billion a year. From 2006 to 2013, $3.085 billion a year. Current contract in excess of $5 billion a year. Now, that $5 billion is before they've sold a single ticket, parking space, luxury suite, club seat, hot dog, soda, beer, foam finger, or a jersey. They haven't sold any of that yet. They already got $5 billion in their pockets. That's amazing. I mean, think about that. That's why he gets $34.1 million a year. Because of his ability to put money into the pockets of the other owners. Those are stunning numbers. And, of course, for the players, it means a lot, too, because you now get as the money goes up every year, they get a percent of the take. So they all benefit, too. It really is amazing. What they get. And he is the, you can talk about the lead negotiator, but he is the lead negotiator. Each team right now is getting approximately $190 million a year from television. And again, you haven't sold a seat yet. You haven't sold a luxury suite, a club seat, a parking space. Nobody's bought a jersey yet. Nobody's bought a foam finger, a hot dog, a beer. And you're already $190 million above the line. It's stunning, and they're all going to get more money out of this. They're all going to go over the $200 million mark in television based on this new Thursday night deal. And we'll find out shortly exactly what each team in the NFL gets, because when the new fiscal year rolls around, the Green Bay Packers, because they are stock held, have to release the numbers. Voila. That's how you find out. So if your team isn't spending money on free agents and you think they're cheap, you might be right. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Today's show has featured the money of Roger Goodell. Kevin saying he doesn't care.
Don't care.
Ronda Rousey saying that she thought initially after the fight she thought about killing herself. Mentioned that today in the Ellen DeGeneres story. A very cold response from Kevin.
Sad, but didn't think it was the biggest story of the day. But, you know, I didn't take it into context as she was literally thinking that, or if that was a passing thought in her head.
Kirk Cousins breaking out contract negotiations. Kevin made no comment. But what really piqued his interest was the fact that the number one selling jersey in West Virginia was Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, that did surprise me. Must admit.
That was a sad segment. All right.
Listen, my view on things is greatly different than many. I'm not going to deny that.
Do I think you have many? No, I disagree with you on that. I think you speak for a lot of people. I think my viewpoint is different than most people's.
Well, you know, you talked about this the other day. You have a bigger picture view, and it showed when you and I compared our top five stories for the year. It was a much bigger picture view that you had than I had.
Well, okay, here's the difference. I think I have a better handle on what makes it work. How about that? Than maybe a fan does. In other words, I'll give you an example. Penn State's going to wrestle Oklahoma State. It's going to be sold out in Rec Hall Sunday night. Fans around here are really interested in it. It's a big wrestling area. Fans see sellouts at Rec Hall, and they see empty seats for men's basketball at the Jordan Center. This is where knowing how it works comes into play. Wrestling loses money. It can't sustain itself. It needs to take money out of the fund, which is provided by football and men's basketball, in order to break even. If you tell wrestling fans that, they look at you as if you're insane, because they say, everything's sold out. Men's basketball, and you tell them men's basketball turns a profit of about $5.1 to $5.2 million a year. Because men's basketball is a part of a TV contract where every game's on TV. Men's basketball is part of a radio contract that has increased in payout in each of the last 5 years. Does football get a bigger payout? Yes. Does football earn more? Yes. But these are things where if you look at it from a base perspective, you'd be saying, well, I mean, wrestling's going to be making a lot of money. They're sold out, correct?
You would think that, yeah.
No. Last year was the closest they ever came to breaking even, and I think they lost $300,000. Now, is that Kale's fault, wrestling's fault? No, it's not their fault. I think what they've done is really, really intelligent.
They're in rec hall. Great move. So, in other words, they don't have to pay rent on the facility. Number two, they have reasonably priced the tickets for the event, where they can get as many people in there as possible, and they have not gone overboard as to what they're charging people to go in for. That's really smart. I think it's really smart on their part. I mean, the goal is get as many people in there as possible, because you know you're going to lose anyway, so whatever you can do closes the gap and means it's, you know, so forth. Now, men's basketball. Why do you think they market men's basketball? Well, one of the reasons they market men's basketball is if they can be successful and get more people into the Jordan Center, they can probably earn the athletic department another $500,000 to $1 million a year that can be then spread out over other programs. Why do you need to sell out football? There's a target number for football that you need to stay above to make sure the money keeps pouring in to help out all the other sports. So you're not just sustaining yourself. So that's why I have a tendency to look at certain things differently, because part of it is I, you know, with all due respect to everybody, I have a lot more information at my fingertips than other people do. You know, same thing with going to practice. I can tell you why somebody's third team and not second team. I can tell you why somebody's moving up the depth chart and somebody's not. I'm there.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. We mentioned earlier, Kevin's driving another Craig car. Time now for our sports bozo of the day, Manny Pacquiao. He talked about homosexuality and also talked about it in the realm of the animal kingdom. Manny, just box. Okay? Just box. Okay? You're not a thinker. But you did earn the sports bozo of the day, which does bring with it no cash prize, but we can certainly put together a certificate for you. Okay. That's our sports bozo of the day. I remember when we came up with that. I said, are you going to have enough?
I'm like, have enough? What, are you kidding?
Seems that way.
I have to choose between five or six every day. Every day I got to choose five or six. So you feel like the sports world is in a lull, huh? Because there's nothing big at the moment going on. And I agree, there's nothing big going
on at
the moment.
There's a lot of, you made a great point. There's a lot of great stuff going on locally. I mean, it's the end, you know, high school basketball's tournament season. I mean, this is high school basketball's version of March Madness. I call it the February frenzy.
Right.
And so that's going on. And there's a lot of stuff locally, but the national picture seems to be a little bit slow right now.
Well, here's the reason why. You don't have any NBA games going on right now. They're still in the All-Star break, and I don't think they get back to playing until Thursday night. The trade deadline's coming up, so there's going to be a little bit of a frenzy there, and there'll be possibly some big names moving. Dwight Howard might move from the Houston Rockets. Now, in our area, that doesn't move the needle at all. I mean, the NBA is not a big item, I sense, in our area. When we talk football, Penn State, you know, maybe a little bit of wrestling that you mix in there. People love that stuff in our area because you have to build what you have in our area. But you also have to do some other things that I think are interesting as well. I mean, look, last week we had national. I mean, look at what we've had in terms of week-wise. You have the Super Bowl, and then you have National Letter of Intent Day all in the same week. I mean, how many guests did we have on? We have, in the week, 20 guest slots. I think we filled 18 of the 20 that week. 18 out of 20 guest slots were filled that week. Now, are we working on some other things right now? This is what we're working on. We're working on Joe Lenardi, and Joe's trying to work out his schedule to get on the show to talk about bracketology.
We put in requests for Mike Mayock, Joe Moorhead, and Brent Pry. So these are the people we're working on over the next couple of weeks to get on the show to talk with them. But it is a lull in some ways. It's a lull because the big one is the Daytona 500. Then you'll have another little bit of a lull before you get into, the first spring training games take place, which, of course, are totally and completely meaningless, except for us. We're going to carry the Phillies this year, which is an awesome thing. But you look at, for example, let's take tonight's schedule in college basketball. West Virginia's at Texas. It's a great game. Two top 24 teams head-to-head down at the Roundhouse, down at the Irwin Center. West Virginia, Bob Huggins, they just go out. They play the same way. They do everything there. They don't care. That should be dynamic. Great game. South Carolina, Missouri is not a great game. Wake Forest at Pitt is not a great game. Michigan and Ohio State should be a really good game. Northwestern at Purdue, I know Northwestern is 17-9, but that's not a good game at Purdue. Purdue is, the matchup isn't right. Creighton at Butler, now that's a good game. Now, is there any dynamic game there? No, but tomorrow night's Duke and North Carolina. And tomorrow you've got Bucknell and Loyola, and Bucknell's trying to win the Patriot. They've got two more home games. Right? Under the category of, in tennis, try to hold serve. Well, holding serve in college basketball is winning at home. Right now you're nursing a one-game lead over Navy and BU. Got to win. You got BU here on Sunday. Then you close out on the road the final two games. I'm trying to think. Navy's one. Navy's the last one. I'm trying to think who the other one is. Who's the other one? You know? Navy's the last game of the year. Because they've already played American.
Let's see. Lafayette. They're at Lafayette. On the 24th.
At Lafayette, then at Navy. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, that's how they close out. They got four left. You know, in the Patriot, being the number one seed is huge. You get every game at home. Every game at home. And this team plays like any team. They play better at Soika than they do on the road. Crowds at Soika are great. Get into it. And not only that, but if they can get to the championship game, the entire country gets to see Soika and Bucknell. That's huge. Championship week. Then, tomorrow night, you've got Duke, North Carolina. You've got Penn State, Iowa tomorrow. Penn State beat Indiana the last time they played at home. I mean, Penn State's been, their schedule has ripped these kids off. They may have had an up-and-down roller coaster Big Ten, but the conference has done them no favors. I mean, Iowa's played seven games at home this year. Do you realize that? You know how many Penn State's played in the Jordan Center? Iowa's played
five?
Seven home games this year. Four. Penn State has played 12 conference games, and four of them have been in the Jordan Center. Does that seem fair to you? I went through everybody's schedule. They're way behind everybody. And it's a bad mix of a young team that's inconsistent and a schedule that's not exactly friendly to what you have. And the first thing I look at, when I look at whom I think will be the top three teams, and I've got to vote for them every year. You know, it's not I don't consider that fun. Postseason, the postseason ones, I always enjoy doing that. The preseason ones, I'm like, okay, you know, you got to do it, you know, to keep your vote. I got it. Okay, so you do it. And you put a lot of thought into it. You don't want to, you know, because people are, this is an honor to them, so you want to really make sure you do it right. And when it comes to preseason, you know, one of the first things I look at among a pool of teams I'm considering? Who do you play twice? That tells me a lot. Who do you play twice? Because everybody else, you're only going to play once. Take, for example, Penn State. You know Penn State's 5-2 plays are this year? Iowa, Michigan State, Michigan, And the other two are Nebraska and Northwestern. Those are the 5-2 plays. Iowa, Michigan State, Michigan. I mean, what does that tell you? What kind of schedule you got? Pretty good schedule. So you got that coming up. All right, then before the week's out, then we got wrestling on Sunday. Penn State and Oklahoma State in what will be a dynamic dual meet in Rec Hall. National Dual Championship. And again, that's of great local importance. In the wrestling world, it has national significance. In the sports world, no offense, but no. In other words, Penn State will wrestle Oklahoma State. Will you see it on the bottom line on ESPN? Will you see it on the bottom line of CBS Sportsnet? Will you see it on the bottom line of Fox Sports 1? Will you see it on the bottom line of NBC Sportsnet?
You'll be lucky if you see it on a website.
You'll see it on the bottom line of BTN. BTN's going to carry it. I know Sunday at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be locked in watching it. It's sold out. Everything's gone. It's going to be a great dual meet. But for the fans in our area, that's a huge story. Does it matter if it's not a big story in Nevada? No. Does it matter that that people in Alabama could care less? Florida? Texas? No. It's huge here. Thus, we're going to talk about it. Jeff Byers is going to join us on the show later in the week. Nate Cobbler from the CDT is going to join us on the show later in the week. I think we're going to go both on Friday to talk about it because it is a big deal. So we're going to go from there. But these, you know, and so that's why a show like this, we'll talk more wrestling on this show than any other show going out there. Any other show. The reason is you got to know what your audience is. Your audience likes to talk about it. Now, does that mean you don't talk about college basketball? No, you do talk about college basketball because that's, guess what? Y'all own TV sets. And since y'all own TV sets, you're going to catch some games from time to time as to who the top teams are. Well, here's Iowa coming in tomorrow night. They're fighting to be a number one seed. Right now, the number one seeds would be Villanova, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Iowa. And are they vulnerable to lose tomorrow night? Yeah. They are. Penn State's finally playing at home, but Penn State needs to get off to a good start tomorrow night. They need to get out of the gate. Whenever Penn State gets out of the gate, they normally play pretty well. Now, they got out of the gate at Nebraska, and at halftime, it was only a one-point game. The second half, I have no idea why the mine shaft door opened. But it did. And I sat there. Which then brings up the next part. The part where I said I sat there. We have a very interesting trend that is happening right now. It's not big at the moment. But Penn State-Nebraska was a game that had the announcers sitting in Orlando. They were not in Lincoln. ESPN targeted 47 games this year in college basketball. And they did this in football, too. Western Kentucky played, let's see, Miami played Florida Atlantic, and Western Kentucky played, I'm trying to think who they played. Well, it doesn't matter who they played. Those two games were done from the studio in Bristol. So they even did it with college football this year. They say it's an experiment to try and cut money. When they go out to crew a game, 28 people are needed for the total crew when there are announcers. When there are no announcers, they need 15. So they automatically cut back on the crew that's on scene, and they cut it back. You know, technically, you're cutting it back by 11 because two of them happen to be the announcers. The announcers are still getting paid, except they're doing the game either in Bristol, Orlando, or in some cases, Los Angeles. John Crispin, former Nittany Lion, who played 2 years here before transferring to UCLA. I think John's become a very good analyst on TV with BTN in particular. John Crispin and Bob Picozzi did a couple of games same day in the studio. So if you're watching ESPN, say, I'm telling you, Bob Pacozzi and John Crespo, hey, great, okay, fine. And then later tuned into the USC game, didn't Bob Pacozzi and John Crispin do the game earlier today? They did. They just did it from the studio. Clay Matvick and Sean Harrington, who have done games in person for Penn State, including the Northwestern game. I like Clay a lot. Clay's a nice guy, and Sean's a good guy, too. But they weren't at, they weren't there. I think you lose something, and I'll give you an example. The week before, Rutgers played Nebraska, and Siobhan Shields was trying to make a play on DJ Foreman under the basket, and he flipped in the air, and he fell, and he hit his head, and he was out on the floor. I don't know. They had announcers there at the time. I think that's something you got to be there to have a feel for, like, what it's like. I don't know. Dick in Milton, buenos dias.
Hey, I just wanted to give you a little update. I heard you ask, was it good that Penn State won four national championships or had the wrestling power that they had on the East Coast? Well, personally, I think it's great. I mean, obviously, I go to the matches. And Kelsey Anderson, when he came to Penn State from Iowa State, said that he came here for one reason and one reason only, other than the money, maybe. He thought he could win a national championship at Penn State. He could win a national championship at Penn State quicker and easier than any other school in the country. And that's proved to be the case, obviously. Because he's recruiting the best kids in the country and the best kids in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and up and down the East Coast, along with a kid here and there from Texas and Nichols and the kids from California occasionally. And they come there because of Kale. They come there because of
McIntosh,
Kale.
Yeah. Oh, of course they do. There's no question. But that's not the context with which I asked the question.
Well,
when Iowa was winning every single year, and I don't have an answer to this. It's up to you, the fan, to answer it, not me. When Iowa was winning every year, did you think that was good for the sport?
Well, I thought it was pretty good for Iowa and Dan Gable. People go because it went there because of Dan Gable. They're coming here because of Kale Sanderson. And as long as Kale Sanderson wants to coach at Penn State, they'll be a national power. They'll be one of the best two or three or four teams in the United States. That's just the way it's going to be because kids want to wrestle for Kale Sanderson. And why not?
Oh, absolutely. That's why with Penn State and what Penn State has gone through over the last 4 years, I've had people when I've gone out to speak and I've talked about the domino effect of everything that's happened here. And I've always been asked, well, why did Kale Sanderson and Russ Rose, why were they able to do so well? Because Kale Sanderson in his sport is so dominant a figure, it doesn't matter where he's the head coach. If he were the head coach at Iowa State would have a chance to be the national champion because he is that dominant a figure when he recruits. I think it's awesome what Penn State's doing in wrestling. I think it's awesome as to what they've done for East Coast wrestling and so forth. I'm only wondering for the good of the sport if the UConn effect of women's basketball could eventually creep into this.
Well, the only other way it's going to stop is if somebody else in the country goes out and gets a Kale Sanderson to coach them. And you could list them on one finger almost. Anyhow, I also wanted to tell you that when Penn State went to wrestle Lehigh at Stabler, it was the largest wrestling crowd in the history of Lehigh wrestling in Stabler. 5,000, I think it was like 5,984. We were down.
That's all they can hold, too.
They don't have a lot of standing, obviously, but also they sit on the floor there at the end. But also, Penn State wrestling club took two fan buses down there. Now we drove down. That's a lot for any sport to take that many fan buses to a wrestling match in the middle of winter. I think.
Oh,
but it's
look!
Incredible.
I think what they're doing is awesome and incredible. I think it's currently great for the sport, and it's great for Penn State fans. I mean, Penn State fans are going to love this no matter what. It's just I'm only asking a big picture question like 10 years down the line if this continues. As awesome as Penn State fans feel about it, would it be great for the sport? And that's not Kale's. That's not Kale's job to think that way. His job is to win for Penn State.
His job is to win. Kids come to wrestle for him. He does it the right way. He's he is. What his staff is incredible. They also have the wrestling training center along with other schools. But he has the good kids stay there. They just stay there and wrestle. And he has the Nevels kid from California who's actually back in the lineup. His brother's coming in next year, and his younger brother yet is even supposedly allegedly better than these two.
Yeah, we broke that story. We broke that story in the show last week that he was going to wrestle.
Yep. But anyhow, they follow Penn State. There was also a chance for people to see Penn State wrestle down at Bethlehem that basically couldn't get into Rec Hall and maybe couldn't get up to Bryce Jordan when they had one of those matches. So,
Right. He took them out to Utah. Remember that, Dick?
Yep.
About 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Right? And they drew, I think they were averaging like 200 a match. And they drew like 5,000-6,000. They had to shoehorn them in, that's amazing that they did that.
Well, look for the next. Go ahead.
Right, he tried to say Boston University, because BU was going to drop wrestling, so he scheduled a dual meet up there, and at Harry Aganis Arena, they had to wedge them in there. It wasn't enough to save it. BU still dropped the program, but it did make a point that there it is in Boston. He was able to sell out that arena, too.
Well, the other interesting thing I find somewhat interesting, he had the largest crowd when they wrestled Pitt at Bryce Jordan, and then Iowa wrestled at Kinnick Stadium and had like 45 or 48,000 there for a match this year. So I don't know if down the road, the weather isn't conducive to wrestling a match in Beaver Stadium, but who knows what would happen there.
I don't know. I mean, the Pitt thing is not quite what it seems. The drop count that night was actually only 11,700 in terms of physical people in the building.
Well, I was there. I didn't count them, but I do know that the Ohio State match.
Well, no, but again, Dick, understand. I've got information other people don't have. I know what the drop count was. Okay,
right.
It was
11,700 this year.
The drop count was the Ohio State match was pretty. What they say was 15-9. I think the drop count was something like 15-2, 15-3, which is an unbelievable percentage of no-shows. I mean, that's what, 500, 600? And there are 5,000 circumstances as to why some people don't show up. That's what, 98.9% capacity? That was really, really good. Iowa last year, they had that one full section that wasn't, and this is circumstance, they remember that one full section in the upper deck had nobody in it? And I think that was two groups. And I think their buses broke down or something, and that's why they weren't there. So, I mean, there's circumstances as to why certain things happen, you know. So,
well, I don't want to go there because, in a sense, only because we were at the Ohio State match. But I'll tell you what, Penn State did an incredibly poor job of getting people into Bryce Jordan Center that night on a Friday night. The traffic was lined up
Dick,
for
I'm
miles.
With you.
And
Dick,
it was
I'm
awful.
With you. I'm with you because I pulled out after the show at 5 o'clock, and I had to go up there for a reason, and I gave up because the line was so long, and I'm completely with you. I was stunned. I went home to watch, and I thought, I wonder how many people aren't in. I'm sitting at home watching it here. I'm wondering how many people aren't in. I completely agree with you.
Well, one of the things they did, and this will be my last point, they took tickets, obviously. They sold parking at the top of the hill. They could have staggered 10 people in that because the traffic was moving so slowly and taken their money on the way up the hill, given the pass, and then when they got to the top, they wouldn't have to stop again. It was just,
really
to
good
me,
idea.
It was mind-boggling. It was just mind-boggling
that's
how
really
stupid
good
that
idea.
Was.
Yeah, that's a really
sure
good idea in your part.
I'm not sure why they
you.
Don't, why they, you know, maybe they could, you could give them that suggestion next time they do something like that.
Right, I'm going to pass that on, you know, because they've got to do something about that where either you can get prepaid parking and you just got to hand it when you go in, or do what you talked about, which I think is also a really solid idea.
I mean, everybody was wedged at the top. Now, we had a parking pass, so you just go on through, but you imagine how many people between there and the Better Park kids could have been selling those, giving those parking passes, handing them a sticker, and in they go. It was mind-boggling to me that they didn't think of that.
Right, you know what? Okay. Now here's the next part. Now here comes the devious part. You want the devious part?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, a guy like Kevin sits in the back and prints them.
Well, and then hands them out. There you go. But anyhow,
clever that
it
way.
It was not a well-done situation, and I'm going to let it go now. Yeah. See you. Bye.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks, Dick. Have a great one, bud. All right. Hey, the after show's coming up.
Love the after show.
What are you going to talk about in the after show?
It's all a big surprise. You'll have to tune in to hear it.
Why am I not surprised by that?
No reason to be surprised by the surprise or the lack thereof.
Dick makes a really good point because I went out. I had to go into the Jordan Center because I needed to get something from basketball. And I'm like, I don't think this is a wise move because Dick is absolutely right. I was going down. I don't know where, if Dick came down Park Avenue or the Bender Pike. I was on the College Avenue. I thought, there is no way these people are getting in on time. No way. Especially with a 6 o'clock dual meet.